Welcome in, everyone, to a Monday morning edition of Locked on Knicks. I am your host, Alex Wolf. I am going solo today. No Gavin. We just can't seem to run into each other this weekend. I don't know what was going on. So, you know, he did solo on the Kings game. I'm doing solo on the Timberwolves game. What a game it was. The Knicks lost 103-92 to the Timberwolves on the road. Getting off on a little road trip here, starting it off with a quality loss. Damian Dotson had himself a crazy game, so we'll be sure to talk about that. Mitchell Robinson did some Mitchell Robinson things. Alonzo Trier had kind of a bounce back game. Just in general, kind of a crappy game as a team. Pretty good game for some individual players, though, so I will be sure to break that down for you guys and, you know, get into the finer specifics there. All that's coming up and more next on Locked on Knicks.
You are Locked on Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Knox foul from behind, counting at one. As Fisdale pumps his fist.
What he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane to Trier.
Becomes infectious.
Welcome in, everyone, to Locked on Knicks. This is Alex Wolf. I'm breaking down the Knicks' loss again to the Timberwolves because they just like to lose. They lost 103-92 today. Before I get into recapping this one, though, let me just remind you all of there's a viewing party coming up this week. Knicks versus Spurs on Friday night. Friday night Knicks. We're going to be doing a little shindig. It's going to be us, Locked on Knicks, posting and toasting my blog, Knicks Film School, Knicks Fan TV, Gotham Sports Network, It's a Hard Knicks Life podcast, and the Nick of Time Show podcast. Everybody's going to be there. I think it's just going to be me, no Gavin, unfortunately, if you wanted to meet Gavin as well. But I'll be there. Schwinny Pooh from PNT will be there. Zach DeLizio from PNT and Knicks Film School will be there. JB and Jonathan Macri from Knicks Film School are going to be in attendance. Some other PNT people, some other Knicks Film School people, Craig and Barry from Hard Knicks Life, Jay Ellis from Nick Time Show and Knicks Fan TV, CP from Knicks Fan TV, and then Jeremy Cohen and I believe Andrew Claudio from Gotham Sports Network are all going to be there. So it's going to be a great time. You know, there's a lot of good people doing Knicks stuff right now online. And if you want to meet some of us and, you know, kind of get to know us in person and, you know, just kind of shoot the shit and watch a Knicks game, and we're all going to be there. And more importantly, we're giving some money to charity, to the Garden of Dreams Foundation, the Knicks kind of official Make-A-Wish-esque charity that they have. So they're doing, the bar is called John Sullivan's. It's at 210 West 35th Street in Midtown. It's about a block and a half away from MSG. They're doing $8 cash beer, wine, and well drinks all night. And any cash drink sales, they're giving 25% of all sales to us, which we will then relay to the Garden of Dreams Foundation. So that's pretty solid. You know, if you can get 50, 60, 70 Knicks fans in a room all drinking together, that's a pretty good way to make some good money for charity pretty quickly. So we definitely hope to see you guys there. That location, again, is John Sullivan's. It's at 210 West 35th Street. Midtown Manhattan. So hopefully we will see you guys there. 8:30 start time. Feel free to get there earlier or later or whatever you're feeling. But anyway, so this game, let's get into it. The Knicks, they lost 103-92. In general, I would say that this one kind of sucked right from the opening tip. The only reason to really watch this game in the first quarter, at least, was Damian Dotson, who just came out totally on fire again. He seems to do this against the Timberwolves. I guess it's kind of
kind of become his thing now. The last time that the Knicks played the T-Wolves, he had like 18 in the first quarter. Today he had 13 on 5-of-8 shooting. And he was kind of, I don't know, like the one saving grace of the first quarter. The Knicks ended up down 23-22 after the first quarter and then proceeded to just kind of suck the rest of the way from there. They lost the second quarter 32-23, the third quarter 25-20, and they won the fourth quarter 27-23, but the game was kind of out of reach at that point. And it never, I mean, they, you know, they scratched and clawed like they always do, but I think the closest they got it was within six down the stretch. But it was just one of those where it just never really felt like they were actually going to pull off the comeback. Maybe that's just me being pessimistic at this point in the season, but it definitely didn't feel like one of those games that the Knicks were going to steal. It just, in general, was not a great performance from them. You could definitely thank Emmanuel Mudiay for a lot of the reasons of the game not being a good one. It just, he got how many minutes? Total minutes for Mudiay, 20 minutes, and I swear every single one of them was torture. He was horrible. I'll talk a little bit more specifically about him in a little bit to kind of close the show. We'll end on a negative note, I guess, rather than ending on a positive one. But he was bad. The team was bad when he was out there. He was just, he does not look to pass, and even when he does pass, he's just not a good passer. And it just totally stalled the offense a few times. Granted, Dennis Smith Jr. didn't have his best game ever either and really only turned it on kind of like in garbage time. But, I mean, I'd still, 100 times out of 100, I'm taking Dennis Smith over the Emmanuel Mudiay experience anytime. And, you know, that's not to say that he's the only guy that sucked. Like, DeAndre Jordan got the start again, and he really sucked. To be fair, though, like, Fizdale actually kind of pulled the plug on DeAndre a little bit in this one and made sure to play Mitchell Robinson a bunch. Mitchell Robinson got almost 33 minutes and DeAndre Jordan only got 15. So that's definitely a good sign. That's a good thing to see that at least, you know, on days when DeAndre Jordan really isn't feeling it, Fizdale's not afraid to kind of, you know, play Mitch and actually play him for decent minutes and, you know, not feel any sort of pressure to play DeAndre Jordan just because he happens to be DeAndre Jordan and, you know, whatever, like a 10-year plus vet or whatever. So that was good to see. I want to jump into Dotson because, I mean, that's he's the main talking point after this game. I already mentioned that stellar first quarter, but he wound up with 26 points for the game. He shot 10 of 19 from the floor, 4-9 from three. And, you know, it was good. I mean, he was really automatic. Like, it wasn't even just the three-point shooting, even though, I mean, he shot 44% from three for the game, which is obviously great. But all in all, he was using other things in his game, too. He was getting to the hoop. He was going out in transition. I would say even more impressively, he was passing in transition. He had 6 rebounds and 6 assists to go with the 26 points. And the assists weren't, like, fluky. I guess the only way you could call them fluky is if, like, the fact that you look at it and most of the assists were a byproduct of how good he was playing on offense. But, I mean, you can't hold that, like, against him. The fact of the matter was he was cooking on offense and he consistently looked for his teammates. And that was really, really beneficial tonight, because it was just like there was one in particular where it was early on and he had hit his, you know, first couple threes or whatever, or just, you know, hit a few shots to begin with, and he got the ball kind of like not quite a not like an elbow three, but not quite a corner three, like kind of in that in between area, and Trier was sitting all the way over in the corner and he just swung it right to Trier. Trier hit one there. That was a great decision because someone was closing out on Dot. And, like, in the past, when Dot's kind of heated up, sometimes he does tend to take that shot even if he's getting pressured. Like, he kind of heat checks a little bit. And it was good to see that he didn't feel the pressure to, like, heat check himself. So that was a good pass. I mean, he had another good one to Knox later on in the game. It was a similar situation. He got the ball, and he kind of pump-faked a little bit that time. And his defender jumped and, you know, was closing out on him. So he whipped it over to Knox in the corner, and Knox wound up only hitting a two because Knox was his footing. It was hard to tell because of the camera angle, but his foot must have been like fully on the line or something. But it only counted for two, but realistically could have been a corner three. And so that was a good assist as well. He also hit a Dennis Smith like in transition at one point, which is relatively easy, but just a good head up play. You know, he didn't dribble the ball for too long. He like immediately looked up and got the ball down to Smith. So definitely like a good, I would say probably Dotson's arguably best overall all around game of the season. I think he scored more than the 26 that he scored today at some point during the season. But just as far as all around performances for him, it was definitely very impressive, and you know, something that hopefully he can grow on. Because if he could start adding distributing to his resume, even if it's just like, it doesn't have to be like, you know, he doesn't have to be a point guard or anything, but if he's looking for those extra passes more often than not, he's going to be like, at the very least, a really good rotation player in the NBA for like a long time, and hopefully on the Knicks if we're lucky. But I guess we'll see as far as that goes. So I'll take us into our first break here, and we'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Kevin Knox. He had kind of a good game, and Alonzo Trier, who also had a good game. Two kind of bounce back games from guys that didn't play super well during the Sacramento game. And all that's coming up more on Locked On Knicks. Welcome back in, everyone, to Locked On Knicks. I am Alex Wolf, solo today, lone wolf, I guess I could start calling this. That, like, just came to me, and that's so obvious. I don't know how I didn't think of it previously, but whatever, you know, better late than never. So we're going to start calling this lone wolf when I'm on here by myself. And that's a thing that's going to happen here on out. Just remember that. Make sure to call me on it if I don't say it, because that's definitely... that's like way too good of a use of my last name to not bust that out like every single time. Anyway, so we've already talked about the Knicks 103-92. They lost to the Timberwolves. But there was, you know, as I said, the overall team ball really left a lot to be desired today. But there was some good individual performances and oddly some good like team-oriented performances from some guys, even if the whole team as a whole wasn't playing well today, if that makes sense. So Kevin Knox was one of them. You know, we talked about Dotson and how hot he was. Knox kind of had what amounts to a hot game for him recently. He shot 5 of 11 from the floor, which is, I mean, for a guy that you're consistently seeing put up like 1 of 8s and 2 of 12s and stuff like that, to shoot 5-11 is really good. I mean, it was good progress for him. He shot 1 of 3 from 3, but I think I already mentioned in the last segment, could have realistically been 2 of 4 from 3 today if he had gotten his feet set right on what should have been a corner 3 late in the game, but instead it was a long 2 because his footing must have been off a little bit. So only 1 of 3 shooting from the arc, but you know, could have realistically been 2 of 4. And... just in general, I enjoyed what I saw from him. He was aggressive, but like in a good way. Knox kind of, he's always aggressive, it seems like, even when he's not playing particularly well. But he doesn't necessarily harness his aggression in like good ways a lot of times. A lot of times he kind of just like, he'll start running downhill without much of a plan and just kind of flail his arms or whatever, thinking that he can get a foul call or whatever, but realistically he just gets stripped or loses the ball out of bounds or something along those lines. Or, you know, his idea of aggression will be like probing in and then taking like a pull up, you know, long two or something like that. And that's not necessarily a good shot either. But today it seemed like his decision-making was not too bad. You know, he had some layups. I think his first make of the game was a nice layup. If it's the one that I'm thinking of, there was one in particular where he took it left and actually went left and then finished with his right hand on the left-hand side of the hoop. It was kind of an interesting... he kind of shielded the ball with his body against the defender and sort of, you know, placed his right arm in there instead of going up with the left because he had a defender kind of coming up on his left side. To try to defend the shot. So that was an interesting one. and, you know, hit that one three-pointer, hit what could have been a second three-pointer. So it's good to see that his stroke was kind of working today. The only take that I really didn't like from him was he had one where he got out on the break and he got into a three-on-one situation with one guy, one Nick trailing behind him, but also another Timberwolf. So really it was almost like a two-on-four, but like in the front of the break, it was Knox versus three guys. And he still took it into the teeth of the D anyway, and he was lucky enough to make that one. But just the general vibe of that shot was not great to me. But, you know, it's whatever. Like, he made it, so, you know, there's no bad shots as long as you make them, I guess. But that's one that I would maybe caution him against in the future and maybe start trying to get his head up a little bit more and you know, kind of keep his head more on a swivel on you know, fast break and transition opportunities. But it's kind of a small criticism at this point. Like, I really do think this if this game is how he can start progressing going forward, then cool. Like, I hope to see more of what we saw today out of him going forward. Particularly, he actually was passing the ball. And it was four assists, I believe. Let me double check. He had four assists. Yeah, four assists and five rebounds for the game. So he posted a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio today, which is really, really good. And the assists weren't, you know, same thing with what I said with Dotson. They weren't really like fluky assists either. One really good one was to Dotson. Knox kind of probed into the defense. He was kind of like, he wasn't starting from the top of the key like he normally does. He was kind of starting from the corner, like at around the three-point line in the corner. And then drove in and was looking like he was maybe going to try one of his floaters or something, but instead whipped it over to Knox on the other side of the court for sort of a between the corner and elbow three there. And he made that shot, and that was a great pass. And then, you know, it was just in general, he was looking around the court and seemed to have his head up more. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the guy who made a good point to me about Knox at one point was Schwinny, Ashwin. Shouts to Schwinny at Schwinnypoo on Twitter. Go follow him if you're not already. He made a point that, you know, Knox definitely looks down while he's dribbling a lot. And the key to him being able to pass well and stuff and to hopefully improve his finishing abilities, he's going to have to be able to like dribble without looking down at the ball so often. And it seemed like today, at least even if like his dribbling acumen didn't seem to be up as much or whatever, he at least seemed to kind of have a good grasp on how to, you know, utilize what he does have in his bag and still be able to look for other teammates and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, I probably one of Knox's, you know, top two or three most encouraging performances in a while. Definitely one of his best games since like the All-Star break. So I give him major props for that. I really enjoyed Kevin Knox's game today. But we'll move on to Alonzo Trier too. And Trier did well too. 5-11, his shooting line matched Kevin Knox's. Except for Trier wound up with 15 points to Knox's 13. Trier was 4-5 from three. That was really good. That is like really, really good percentages for him. And that was where most of his damage came from, because he had kind of an off day. Like, you know, Trier, for better or worse, goes to the mid-range a lot because it's somewhere that he's comfortable and he can take those pull-ups, you know, when he breaks down the D a little bit. And, like, those just were not falling today. He kept trying them, and they weren't really working. Like, that's where most of his misses came from. But, you know, when you can convert 4 or 5 from three, you get a little more leeway as far as some of your other takes because, like, yeah, you know, three-point shot, it's worth a lot. You're shooting 80%. That's a very good day. And I couldn't pull up his final three-point make on NBA stats. NBA.com/stats, if you go to their box scores, they usually have the individual plays from every player. You know, or at least the stat collecting plays from every player that you can click on and watch little video clips of each one. And I tried to find all four of his three-point makes because I was curious, like, I'm like, I feel like I have like a borderline obsession with Alonzo Trier shooting spot up three pointers at this point. But anyway, whatever, it's the thing I like, and I think it's gonna keep, you know, being a good thing that helps him develop into a better player. So I like seeing it, and he had two such makes today. One was that one from Dotson that I mentioned earlier in the show, and then he had another one where he got it swung to him in the corner, and then a third one, it was a Mitch offensive rebound, and he gave it to Trier, who took like two dribbles back to get out to the three-point line and then took a shot from there. So, I mean, technically that's like, I guess, a pull-up, but that's sort of like a hybrid between a pull-up and a spot-up to me, because he dribbled like back to the three-point line and then set himself and shot it. So, and then the last one, I'm not entirely sure what it was, but at least two of what you would definitely call spot-up three-pointers today. And I was very happy to see that. And just in general, you know, if Trier can really develop himself into a knockdown three-point shooter, it's going to unlock so much for him as far as his game. And it's going to hopefully unlock a lot for the Knicks going forward. So definitely encouraging game from him, and definitely something, you know, that I hope that he keeps working on. And clearly, I mean, he's definitely good at it as far as, you know, shooting spot-up opportunities. So something I hope he continues to embrace, I guess I should say, rather than improve on, because he's been so good at it already. But at any rate, we'll take one more break and then come back, talk a little bit about Mitch Robinson, because how could I not, touch briefly on Dennis Smith Jr. and Moutier, and then, you know, sign off for today. So we'll be right back to Locked On Knicks. Welcome back into the final segment of Locked On Knicks. Hope you're enjoying your Monday morning spent with me. Hope you enjoy just listening to me babble on. If you're interested in hearing more of me babbling, you could check out, I did do an episode of the Knicks Film School podcast with Jonathan Macri, friend of the pod, you know, good friend of the pod. We're buddies. Went on and just kind of, you know, shot the shit with him for like damn near an hour and a half. It really flew by pretty quickly. So we talk a little bit about the Knicks at large, a little bit about the draft picks and stuff, and talk some Marvel movies, just talked about James Dolan. I know Gavin touched on that yesterday. So if you want to, you know, hear my opinions on the whole James Dolan nonsense, you could definitely get them there. So that's the Knicks Film School podcast. Be sure to check that out. But back to Locked On Knicks, where hopefully we'll get Jonathan Macri back on again soon, because he's certainly a great guest. Good host, too, but very good guest. But we'll talk a little bit real quick. I'm just going to touch briefly on the last three. I'm already running kind of long, which is wild, because I must just really like to talk or something, because I always tell myself, like, oh, this is a shitty game. I'll talk for, like, the bare minimum, make it, like, 20 minutes. And then I'm looking at my, like, my counter, and I'm like, wow, I'm already at like 25 minutes, so I gotta wrap this up, because I wouldn't want to listen to myself talk about this game for more than about 20 minutes, so I can only imagine. Maybe you guys are just gluttons for listening to me talk, I guess, but at any rate, Dennis Smith Jr., he drew the start, as he probably will for the rest of the season. He shot 6 of 15 overall, 13 points, 4 assists, 5 turnovers, not great. Between himself and Moutier, they had 10 turnovers combined, they had a 1 to 2 assist to turnover ratio between the two of them, mostly skewed towards Moutier, but not great. And Smith was definitely struggling all the way up till basically garbage time. He had kind of a nice run down the stretch. I would say he was like good-ish. I wouldn't say that he was even like necessarily like good or great or anything down the stretch. But you know, passable, I guess. He scored 11 out of his 13 in the fourth. He only had 2 points, I think, going into the final frame. So just to give you an idea of kind of where he was at prior to the fourth quarter. But like, to his credit, you know, the Knicks, I mentioned already, they had kind of that fake comeback. They brought it to like within 6 at a certain point. And cool. That's, you know, that's great. And Smith was definitely a part of that. So was like Knox and Dotson, and really anybody but Moutier was part of kind of making that happen. Mitchell Robinson, Trier too. I mean, basically all the guys that I already talked about being kind of good were part of it. And I'll definitely talk about Mitch in a second as well. But like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like my main thought with Smith is he's been playing enough minutes with Moutier that I legitimately think that Moutier is just this like black hole of suck that like sucks in everybody and everything around him and makes everything else suck too. Because like, even when you have Dennis Smith out there, who's no doubt the better point guard compared to Moutier, you still have Moutier bringing the ball up the court 50-60% of the time, it seems like, even when Smith is out there, and you have Smith starting off ball instead of Moutier starting off ball, which would seemingly make a lot more sense. So I don't know, I feel like that's part of Smith not playing as well too, is that I think Smith has a little bit of ability to play off ball, but I don't think that's his role by any stretch. And I think it's stupid to, you know, ever put him in a situation where like Emmanuel Moutier is bringing the ball down the court instead of him. But what I'll talk about Mitch real quick, because, you know, Mitch, obviously, this is Locked On Mitchell Robinson. We did kind of rebrand the show for that because Mitch is the most consistently enjoyable thing about this team. I actually didn't plan on putting him below Dennis Smith there. I was scrolling through my notes right before I started this, and then I went to Dennis Smith instead. But you know what? I think it's right to every once in a while kind of bury Mitch a little bit, because this was like, it was a good game for him, but it wasn't like one of his best ones, which says a lot, because his final stat line, he had 8 points on 4 or 5 shooting, 10 rebounds and 5 blocks, which is a pretty damn good stat line, but it's almost becoming pedestrian for him. And you know, I think I've already said this on here once, twice, maybe 3 times. Like, I don't think that we should lose sight of how great it is to have a guy like him on the team that's constantly producing so many highlights. But I also feel, not that I think any Knicks players actually listen to this podcast or whatever, or give a crap, but I do feel like some other guys definitely deserve shine sometimes. And Mitch, you know, if he goes out there and just kind of does like his normal Mitch thing, I definitely want to mention it, but he doesn't have to be like the top guy every time. But at any rate, yeah, so he extended a couple impressive streaks. He now has 24 straight games with a block and 15 straight games with 2+ blocks, which is insane. He's joining like some very elite company very quickly. And, you know, with only how many games left? 67 and 82. 15 games left. He could potentially stretch that streak to 30 straight games with 2+ blocks. If he plays every game for the rest of the season and blocks 2+ shots in every game. And I think, based off the MSG graphic from a couple weeks ago, or not a couple weeks ago, a couple games ago, that might actually set an NBA record. Hold on. I'm going to look real quick. I'm going to just stall. The longest such streak in NBA history is 25 games by David Robinson in 1989-90 for a rookie. So that would, he could potentially set that NBA rookie record of 2+ blocks in consecutive games, which would be really cool, and just kind of would be the icing on the cake of what's already been such a good season for Mitchell Robinson. He blocked Derrick Rose. That was a personal highlight for me. I'm not a big Derrick Rose fan. He was like the Emmanuel Moutier of yesteryear for me. Just not very fun to watch as a fan. And his last block he had on Gorgui Jang. And it was pretty cool. This is just like another, I guess, another kind of wrinkle that I'm not sure if he added or whatever, or if this was even intentional, but it felt intentional to me. He blocked the ball off of the backboard, and the ball like careened out to Dotson, who was like kind of out by the 3-point line, which then led to a transition opportunity where Dotson fed it to Dennis Smith Jr. And I have like no clue if Mitch actually meant to block it that way, but maybe it's just the way that he always conducts himself while he's playing, where everything looks so easy for him. But I legitimately thought that he intentionally spiked the ball off the backboard to get it out to Dotson and start the transition opportunity. And I didn't catch the post-game comments when Mitch got interviewed, if he got interviewed on TV. But I would have been really curious to see if that was an intentional thing from him, because he does have a penchant for like blocking the ball and keeping it in play. So I almost wonder if he used the backboard to his advantage there. But I guess we'll see. Maybe that's something he has in his bag. Maybe that's something he'll start bringing out more consistently or whatever. But I don't know. Here's hoping. And so I'll finish off on Emmanuel Boudier, Super Boudier today. I just feel like venting for the final segment, I guess, or the final part of the final segment. Yeah, he's really bad, Emmanuel Boudier. Seriously, if anyone else on the team was playing as bad as Moutier's been playing lately, they might legitimately just get benched for the rest of the season. Frank Ntilikina. He shot 2 of 7. He had 4 points, 1 assist to 5 turnovers. And it's just like, to me, when I watch him, he reminds me of like, you know, they always say that the point guard is like the quarterback of the offense in basketball. And when I watch Moutier play, it's like when I watch like a really bad quarterback, like let's say a really bad quarterback who's trusted to do good things. Let's say like Blake Bortles or something like that, who just like every single throw, this person is either leaving the ball 5 yards ahead or 5 yards behind the receiver. And in Moutier's case, it's just like, I feel like he can be in a situation with the easiest possible pass and will consistently find a way to throw it like 2 feet to the left or right of whoever he's trying to throw it to and make them have to like adjust how they were standing, like ready to shoot or whatever, and like reach over and out to grab the ball and then pull it back into their body. And by the time they've pulled in Moutier's like terrible pass, the defender's already there and the play's been broken up. And it's just, it's very frustrating to me. I do not enjoy watching him play point guard. I really hope, I mean, Fizdale, to his credit, has been talking very optimistically about like, once we get Frank back, we're going to have a logjam at point guard, or like just a guard, meaning that hopefully he's planning on playing Frank a bunch. But I legitimately hope that once it gets time for Kadeem Allen to come back up and use up the rest of his NBA days, and once Frank is back, that Moutier legitimately just gets glued to the bench and never comes off again, because he is the least enjoyable player definitely this season to watch for the Knicks. And I'm trying to think, definitely he's got to be one of the least enjoyable players to watch in the last 2-3 years at least. Just not a good time. Not a good time at all watching him play basketball. Probably the least enjoyable since Rose, if you're a type of person that doesn't like Derrick Rose too. But anyway, rant over, show over. I'm going to wrap things up. This has been Locked On Knicks. Make sure if you want to listen to Locked On Knicks when you get in the car or when you get home to your Alexa, wherever you got a smart device, make sure to ask it to play podcast Locked On Knicks, and it'll do it for you. You don't even have to go searching through your iTunes or your Google Play or Spotify or, you know, whatever. Just it'll do it for you, and things will be super easy, and, you know, you don't have to worry about a damn thing. So do that. Definitely give us high ratings or whatever. I haven't asked for that for a little while. Give us 5 stars on iTunes, you know, 2 thumbs up from Ebert and Roper, all that good stuff. And I will talk to you guys later. I think Gavin and I will be reunited tomorrow for a fresh episode for you guys on Tuesday morning. Got a little Captain Marvel themed action coming in the next episode. So hopefully you guys tune in for that. Until then, this has been real. I will catch you all later. Peace out.